Welcome everyone to Christ's Blessing on the ninth day of this lovely November afternoon. A December afternoon. I'm sorry. Gee, that tells a lot about me, how I've fast forwarded through this work season. Oh my goodness. Okay, but we are here together now, regardless of whatever time our mind thinks that it is. Time is such an interesting thing, fascinating, how we can feel exactly what we felt when we were 3 years old, and how we can be 50, 60, 70, and feel as young as we ever were until we look in the mirror, and even then it doesn't make sense. There really, really is no time and space to the spirit. It's as simple as that. And, one of the things I want to talk about today that I have on my speaking agenda is the fluidity and the mobility of this universe, which allows miracles to always be happening. But we're going to warm up the community by saying hi to all of you and inviting you to come on to our line. Let us know how you're doing, what you would like to have a prayer or a blessing for, or express your gratitude for something wonderful that happened. So just press star 6 and then 1. That brings you onto the board, and then I can open your line. And I see that Stormy is here. Hi, Stormy. You are on.
Yes, Glenda. Earlier in this week, I was asking God to strengthen me for thy service need.
That's lovely.
And that's what this blessing is all about. You know, we strengthen each other in a community coming together.
Absolutely.
For thy service need, whatever that service is. I thought I'd add that to the fluidity.
Okay. Well, it is the fluidity that makes what you're asking for possible. that and love, of course, always, always love. And it's so good to have you here, Stormy. And I can tell by your voice that you're doing well. And thank you, God,
considering I went to the emergency room yesterday for about 4 hours, but...
Oh, my goodness, Stormy. Well,
it was a good thing. I needed to address what I needed to address and get serious about strengthening myself for service need.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Stormy. And I can see that you're doing the work because your voice is strong. Your spirit is titanic, as always. And it's good to have you here.
Thank you, Glenda.
Tony, your line is open. Welcome. You may have to unmute your own phone.
Oh, sorry, yes. Hi. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, it's wonderful to connect as always, and wonderful to connect with the community. We have a blessing and prayer of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Judy's sister's doing much better. She kind of had a really rough last couple of weeks, but she's doing much better now. So, Judy, is there anything you want to mention about it?
Well, I think she's just always carrying a fear because a few years ago she had stage 4 cancer and the picture was not very positive, and she's just at that 2-year mark. And so she kind of had a scare with some things, but when she went back and reread it, there's no way it can be cancer again. so I think the more she's just in a better space where she's peaceful and trusting and positive, and that's good. So thank you.
That's very good. That's very good. And blessings to her. And you're right. You're right. It's just life moving through her and moving things around, but it's not cancer. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Tony. Anything else you want to add today?
Yeah, just an observation. I've been going through the material, the training material for the ministry course.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that you cover in there that are marvelous. And it's unique. I'm sure that you're well aware of that. But the integrative nature and the way it connects, the understanding that we get through studying Love Without End and the Keys of Yeshua, and seeing how that connects so that we can take that energy and make it something that serves and supports the life and the health and the joy of others. It's something really beautiful, and I'm just wanted to make a comment about the amazing integrative and unique learning that occurs through the ministry course. So I've really been struck by it. I just wanted to mention that because there may be others out there that are also interested in that.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And actually, you do bring up a very good point, because a lot of people really do want to have the, well, shall we say, the orientation toward life of a minister, but they don't really want to be a practicing minister in a church or a preacher or even a spiritual teacher. They want the orientation of ministry, because what that does is it takes the best there is in life, which so many people are already working on, but it takes it to a viewpoint of responsibility. And when you can have that viewpoint of responsibility on love, on service, and on just being in life for the compassionate service of other people, it makes everything you do better.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 400 ministers now.
Wow.
And probably only about 50 of them are actually in what you would think of as traditional ministry service.
Hmm.
The rest are using it to have a better life in whatever they do.
Yeah.
And be knowing how to be present. You know, the thing is, we've all been in a situation at work, in our family, or with friends, or in a social gathering, when all of a sudden, shall we say, a situation arises. And somebody needs to take charge. But you also know that if you take charge in a forceful way, you could make things worse. And mm-hmm. so everybody stands off, and nobody mm-hmm. takes charge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, learning how to be a minister, or actually most of our ministers choose to call themselves chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
Learning chaplaincy is an orientation of service that allows mm-hmm. you to ease into a situation and be there on behalf of, shall we say, subtle management that eases situations, moves people through situations, and finds a right direction up to a better level of resolution. And I have letters and emails all the time from people who are graduates of our ministry course about the way things work out. And it could have been at a community city council meeting or a real estate board meeting, and had nothing whatsoever to do with spiritual teaching. But you see, everybody, this is what I wanted to emphasize today. Everything is spiritual. I was just reading that in Love Without End by a quote I made last week. There is nothing that is not of spirit. And it's spirit that moves through everything and provides the alternate connection, shall we say, or many options that we have for changing the connection we have with something. We could even We could even run into a brick wall because it's nighttime and we didn't have a flashlight, and our nose is feeling pretty bad. And we could be thinking, wow, I hate you, brick wall. Or we could be thinking, well, how stupid am I not to know that wall was there? Or we could be saying, wow, what an interesting experience observing my protoplasm engaging with this density. Wow. I wonder what it would be like if I could just have walked through the wall. You know, there are so many different options we have available for us to engage with absolutely every situation. I could have gotten, let's say, that brick wall. I could have gotten mad at myself or mad at the brick wall or mad at somebody for leaving something there that I stumbled on. But what good would it do? Really, really. And the fact is, because everything is spiritual, we are connected with it. And we can make choices. And you know what? It can make choices also. I think I've told this little anecdote a few times in seminars, but I don't think I've used it for a long time, so it will probably be new to most of you. Years and years ago, when I lived in New Orleans and we would go out and get fresh shrimp, I was frying some shrimp in hot oil, you know, the deep, deep can of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a ladle full of shrimp that were nicely breaded, and I was going to be easing them into the oil when my sleeve caught on something, and instead of easing them into the oil, I dumped them into the oil, and some oil splashed up over the top and landed on my arm, and that was boiling oil. Okay. Well, I looked at it, and instead of responding in fear, I looked at it and I said, wow, that is so interesting. And I just went into this kind of slow motion. It was sort of like you may have had this experience with something else in your life where everything slowed down almost to a stop. There was no time and space. I just looked at it and I said, yeah, that's so interesting. And I picked up a cloth and I wiped the oil off my arm and there was no heat, no burn, not even pink. And you would think the oil wasn't boiling, but while that was all happening, the shrimp were frying inside the oil in the pot. Now, how did that happen? The fluidity of time and space. This was long before I had this level of wisdom about the universe. It was just an instinctive response. I had a similar kind of instinctive response when I almost had a head-on collision with an 18-wheeler. I was coming on up a ramp from the highway when an 18-wheeler started to go down the ramp. He was going the wrong way. I was coming up the right way, and I saw this 18-wheeler coming down the ramp. And, you know, the ramps don't have two lanes. They're like one lane. And all of a sudden, time just stopped. I didn't really know what to do, but I went to the left. He went to the right. He went off the road. My car spun around three times, and I stopped in the gravel, and I sat there stunned. And then I got out, and I ran over, partly to chew him out, but also partly to see if he was okay. And he was getting out of his truck, and he said, "Ma'am, did you ever take professional driving?" I said, "No." I said,
"You just did.
God and the angels just took over here." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, it's a good thing they did. Because I think you and I might have been sitting up there upstairs with them in a few minutes if they hadn't." Mm-hmm. And he checked out my car, and he pulled over, and he called the police to create a barrier on the ramp until we could get everything moved off. And that's all there was to it, but that's the fluidity of time and space.
Mm.
That's where, you see, some people talk about everything being an illusion. Well, see, I don't quite go along with that, because what I think is everything is fluid, but it gets frozen by agreements. We form agreements, very tight agreements, about the way things are supposed to be in time and space. Now, me going up that ramp, it was supposed to only work one way. Thank you very much. There was not supposed to be an 18-wheeler coming down that ramp. And who knows where he slipped outside his agreement. But the fact is, we have agreements. And not just we, but the chair I'm sitting on has an energetic agreement as well. Now it's not the same kind of agreement I have, because my agreement is shaped by consciousness, meaning I walk into the room, I see the chair, I say, "Oh, there's my chair," and I spin it around to face my body, and then I plop myself into it. Okay, that's a conscious progression of little miniature observations and agreements that exist in a flow of time and space. But that chair is the product of a sequence of material agreements, ranging from when metal became metal, molten into a certain form, shaped into a certain mold by some designer somewhere, fabric was woven, padding was put on, but they were all agreements that were shaped in time and space. And it's actually agreements that form the realities we trust, that we think we can put our faith in. But what happens when something or someone breaks one of those agreements? For example, if I sat down in my chair and there was a loose screw in the seat and the seat fell off and I ended up on the floor, I would be pretty unhappy. I would think, "Well, this isn't what was supposed to happen." And I could either resist it and be angry, or I could say, "Wow, isn't that interesting? Time and space just moved around a little bit for me." And then I take a look at, "Wow, okay, well, that's what happened. There was a screw loose over there. I put it back, and I get on with my day." And, you know, the thing is, sometimes things like that happen to remind us that that our reality was just based on prediction of agreements. And that's all it was. That doesn't mean it was an illusion. We just had a prediction of agreements. Now, let's look at that from a different perspective, which is also very important. If reality is produced by agreements, agreements can also be produced by reality. Now, how does that work? I'll give you a real simple example. When I was a student in college, I needed to make some money. And I signed up to do some door-to-door selling. I don't even remember what it was. I don't think it was encyclopedias, although it might have been. I think it was. Anyway, it was something that appealed to me. No, I think it was some other kind of book. Don't remember the thing about it. But what I was told is the best is that what you're doing to make a sale is you're building up to a point of agreement. And so the way you build up to that point of agreement is you start out, you don't work on agreements. You start out by building reality. You walk up to a house and you see roses in the garden and you see somebody and say, I love your roses. You know, my grandmother had the most beautiful roses and I used to help her spray the roses to prevent the fungus. What do you do to build your rose, to keep your roses so beautiful? And then you walk in the house and you smell something cooking. You say, oh my gosh, you are cooking my favorite thing, whatever it might be. And the sofa is brown. You know, I just love brown sofas. I feel so comfortable on brown sofas. You're building reality. That's what you're building. You build reality and pretty soon they want to agree with everything you have to say. You see, it works both ways. Now, I want you just to pause for a minute. At times, when you've needed to get an agreement from somebody, how could you have gotten that agreement by first building a reality? Okay, I'm going to give you now a healing suggestion for healing anything. You want to heal your body of anything. Well, what you're really working toward is an agreement that your body is well and perfect. That's what you want. You want that agreement. I'm well and perfect. I don't have a headache. Why would you ever want to agree that you have a headache? I don't have a headache. Start by building a reality. I always feel so good when I'm hydrated. I think I'm going to go have some coconut water. Have that coconut water and you know, this makes me feel so relaxed. Oh, wow, I am just so relaxed. I want to have a shower. That feels so good on my muscles. I just feel, the warm water makes me feel so relaxed. I just feel so relaxed. And, you know, I'm going to call my best friend. Haven't called her in a long time. You're not even thinking about that head. You're not even thinking about it. You're not moving toward that agreement. You're building reality. You're building the best reality you know how to build. You build that reality, and then pretty soon, you can build a reality of, my head feels just perfect. You never had to ever think about, what am I going to do to fix that headache. You see? So, realities build agreement. Agreements build reality. You're finding that you really do need to bring about a project at work to a culmination. It's just going on and on. It's one of those, I know you've been there, you've done this in something, one of those things that keeps metamorphosizing into something else. You think you've got it all in place, when just as you get a little further down the road, it becomes, something else appears and it becomes something else. And then it becomes something else, and then it becomes something else. So you stand back and say, hey, you know what? We need to form a team, just a special team. That meets every Monday. See, there's an agreement. A special team meets every Monday. You're going to sit down with some paper and you're going to itemize everything that's going on. Itemize everything that's going on. And you're going to ask each person on the team to agree to be responsible for one of those items. You form agreement. And then you form the agreement to investigate each one of them and meet again on Wednesday. You come back Wednesday and you find all that metamorphosizing has stopped. It's actually starting to wrap up. You get finally getting to the point on things, and you can start to see a clear picture. Okay? The same thing can happen with your health. Let's just say you can't quite figure out what's going on. You just know something's not quite right. It's one of these shapeless realities again. You just have symptoms, but you can't get to the bottom of it. So you take a look at one thing that you could say, you know, I haven't been keeping up a regular schedule on eating lately. I'm going to get a regular schedule on eating. I got to take a look at what I'm eating. Maybe things have slipped off a little bit. I need to take a look at my supplements or my medicines and see which ones are working or which ones aren't working. In other words, you're taking an inventory. You're looking at it. And I haven't been to see my doctor for a long time. I wonder why. Maybe I didn't like what he or she said last time I went. I wonder if I need to see a different doctor. You know, I have heard about this holistic practitioner. I think I'm going to see if I can set up an appointment. What you're doing is you're road mapping. You're not drawing any conclusions, but you're road mapping a few agreements that you can lay out that allow you to examine what's going on in your life. You're not drawing any conclusions. You decide, you know, every day, 6 o'clock, I'm going to meditate. After I meditate, I'm going to pray. After that, I'm going to either read something funny or I'm going to watch a comedy. I'm going to laugh. Or I'm going to call somebody I love. But you make a plan. See, you're using agreements to build a reality. Pretty soon, you may not have the answers, but what you're going to start doing is you're going to start exposing the realities of your life where you can really look at them. They fall out of shape when our agreements about life are falling out of shape. We become negligent about the agreements we have with life. Maybe you've broken an agreement with a friend. Maybe you've broken a promise to yourself. Maybe you've broken some promises to God. You see, when we break agreements with life, reality falls out of shape, and then it's hard to figure out. It's hard to figure out what's going on. So it works both ways. Now, how does that have to do with the blessing? Okay, well, the blessing comes in to clear out the smoke, you might say. Clear out the debris. When a river's been running wild, it's going to push a lot of debris up on the banks. When there's been a forest fire in the distance, we're going to have a lot of smoke in the sky. And after there's been rain, there's going to be fog, and so on. So the blessing is going to clear the air. It's going to clear the flow of your body so that you can examine the reality of your life more clearly, and you can see the fluidity. I went a little bit off purpose of what I was going to say to you today, because I was going to talk about the fluidity of the universe. But you see, after Stormy spoke up, and Judy and Tony, our communications there formed a little tighter agreement about what the reality should be for me to speak. And I really didn't go that far off target. I'm still basically close enough to the target where I can get back to it right now. Because the fact is, our entire universe is constantly changing. It's constantly in a fluid mode. Every scientist acknowledges that right now. Only on the mechanical level, where hard physical forms have formed, are there any fixed structures. On the smaller levels of molecular activity, everything is fluid. Now, a lot of people don't like to believe that, but believe it or not, there's still some people that think the Earth is flat. It's so funny. I was searching around on the internet a few days ago, and I came to a conference of the Flat Earth Society where they were actually offering cosmological evidence that the Earth is flat and that the idea that it's round is only an optical illusion. And I thought, you know, I started to resist it. I thought, how silly is that? But then I started to think, you know, it's okay, because that's just another form of fluidity. It's okay that they believe that, because it helps them deal with life in their own way. And I would be coming rigid if I resisted it. So I thought, how interesting is that? And I let go of it. The thing is, here down in this dense plane that we call Earth, that we call reality, we can virtually create reality out of anything if we got enough people to agree to it. And that's the hard part about changing important ways of life, like changing our civil liberty, changing civil rights, making life fair for more people, changing our economic systems so that we can still have enough capital to finance business, because capital is essential. It really is. You know, I do not believe in the greed-based, monstrous capitalism that has virtually become a political oligarchy of our planet. No, I don't believe in that at all. But a certain amount of capital is necessary. In fact, this is what the Chinese had to discover in order to climb out of the, the slump of communism, where nobody could spin a wheel anywhere. And now they are one of the most effective growing capitalistic countries in the world. So yes, a little bit of capitalism is necessary. It is, because you have to finance things in order to do things. And it goes all the way back into the Bible, where we're taught to save. We're taught to save and invest that which we save in order to be more productive. Okay, so that being said, there's still better economic systems than anything we've ever thought about that can take care of everyone on our earth without it having to be a welfare system, which also does not work. It doesn't work because it doesn't teach people. It only gives people fish. It doesn't teach them how to fish. It doesn't give them a wherewithal of what to fish with. It gives them no bait to fish with. So we've got to change a lot of realities. And in order to change those realities, we've got to change agreements. In order to change agreements, we've got to start accepting and examining the ones we have. We will never change an agreement that we keep resisting. That's what I realized and laughed at myself about when I started to resist the Flat Earth Society. I thought, oh my gosh,
I'm as guilty as they are. Get out of here, Glenda. Go back to the drawing board. Everything is an option. But we have to think about the fact that it is. Anything can be changed. God can change anything in a heartbeat, in the blink of an eye. The entire world could be changed. Our Creator could change everything instantly, but He doesn't want to rob from us our power to do that or our ability to learn from what we created. We created all of this. Now we can uncreate it. So it's really important to understand agreements create reality. Reality creates agreement. They go back and forth, back and forth. And keep it fluid. As you keep it fluid, you move everything around more. And even the solid things don't have to be the way you think they are. Just like the hot grease on my arm did not burn because I thought it was so very interesting. When I was spinning around in my car, I thought I was on a Ferris wheel ride at an amusement park. And I thought, wow, wonder when this will stop. And then there I was in the gravel on the road beside the road. And then I came to my senses and realized, oh, you fool, I'm driving down in an 18-wheeler. I really got mad. I lost my temper for a few minutes. But that's when I was young and I didn't know better. And you probably would have lost your temper too. So we got over it. We had a good communication and worked it all out. And, you know, everybody can have every emotion in the universe. When we think we're losing something or someone we love, we're going to cry. But that doesn't mean that we really will lose that one we love. It just means at that moment, that's the reality we're looking at. And sometimes it's important to honor that reality so we can get past it. I have been on the edge of losing my beloved cat, Rama, for 6 months. For 6 months, the veterinarian has said, well, we'll give him about 2 days. You take him home and you enjoy your last days together. I come home and love on him and love on him and cry a little bit and think, okay, goodbye. And then he thinks, okay, goodbye. And 3 days later, he's just fine again. We move right through it because it's not his time yet. And someone else at the veterinary clinic who is wiser than the veterinary, she's a nurse and she's been through this so many times. She says, Glenda, you and Rama will both know when it's time. And until it's time, it doesn't matter what we say or what we report from the test or what the blood tests say. She says, you'll know when it's time, and until it's time, it's just not time. You know, she was aware. She's been through this so much. And I'm learning. This has been a great learning experience for me to go through these moments of grief and then realize it's not time. Come here, you little antelope. Come jump in my arms and let's hug a little bit. And we go back to the next step. So I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to do our blessing because I don't want to leave anyone unresponded to. From 908, you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
This is Andrew. How have you been? It's been a while since
I
spoke to you.
Hi, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The point you're making is so pertinent to my life right now. I'm just thankful that I'm on the blessing call this evening. Also, I wanted the blessing community to hold me in light and find a new job, and that was my request.
Okay, good. And it's Andrew.
Yes, it is. Andrew Devines.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
It's so nice to talk to you again, Andrew, and many blessings for you to move on to the right job for you.
Thank you.
Or the right next one for you, shall we say.
Exactly.
And I see Nancy's on. Hi, Nancy.
Hi there, everybody. Thank you, Gwenda. What a great message. And I'm just really thankful that I can go back and listen to it again. Because it's going to be very pertinent to a lot of things going on. But I would like to ask a special blessing for Michonne, my dear friend. On next Wednesday, she's going for her first chemo treatment for advanced breast cancer. And all these messages, I think, are really going to be helpful to her. I'm going to direct her to a part in Love Without End, but also to this particular blessing call.
Yeah,
thank you.
Let her listen to the recording.
Yes, I'm going to tell her about that for sure.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody. And, you know, it's all about love. That's the only thing that never changes. Love.
Amen.
You know, really, we are a lot of people rolled up into one. Nancy, Andrew, Judy, Tony, Stormy, all of you. Well, actually, we're just one giant soul, really. But we're still one person. Each one of you is, but you're not just one person. You're a little bit different to everybody, and we've all got roles to play. And we shift into those roles. We shift into those identities. And sometimes it's those identities that get stuck and don't want to shift easily. So you need to remember, this is the great thing about prayer. The great thing about meditation is God won't let you go without remembering that love is who you are. But the purpose of prayer is not to change God, it's to change you. But not really to change you, but to change you back into the love that you are. So by the time the prayer is finished, you are a loving human being. That's the purpose of prayer. When you get back to the love that you are, anything is possible. And everything is possible. And the right things start happening for you. And as you receive the blessing, that's also what happens for you. So let's do it. Let's just be here together. And blessing givers, please join me. The rest of you, just relax. Whatever is the right position for you, be in it. If you can be seated with your feet on the ground, barefoot, that's ideal. If not, do the next best thing, okay? Head uncovered and arms and legs not crossed, because we are flowing energy up and down, and we want the right side energy to flow in the right and the left side energy to flow in the left, okay? So I'm going to start my prayer to Yeshua, and I ask when I am finished that you begin your prayer while we conduct the energy. Dear Yeshua, beloved Son of God, Lord of life, the one who is here with us always, blessing us, guiding us, pulling us out of the ditch, being our companion, forgiving us, helping us see better in the darkness, we thank you. We thank you for everything. We thank you for letting us be human and getting lost and still finding our way back home. We thank you for teaching us who we really are and setting that example so we have someone to follow. We thank you for being with those that we love and for being with them in their need of healing or direction. Or redirection. We thank you for finding our right work, our right place to live, our right destiny, our right reason for being here on this earth. Because you know each one of us by heart and how important and precious
each human being is. We love you with all our hearts, and we ask now that you be in our hearts. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest and just be with God and allow God to be with you. At least 7 minutes. You're very loved. And I look forward to being with you again next week.